Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony Family Tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout-out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We have a hell of a show for you tonight. You know, not often do I get to interview somebody from the Show Me State, which is where I live, I reside, and I'm very proud to do so. But I also am affiliated with this gentleman in so many aspects of life, so many walks, and he's a tremendous, tremendous bare-knuckle warrior. With that being said, I'd like to welcome the one and only Sam Shoemaker. How's it going, brother?
Oh, man, it's going great. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm living the dream. No.
I hear you.
You know, five shows a week, six shows a week, you know, kind of catches up with you. I've had that crud that's been going around Missouri for a while, you know, and I just can't seem to shake it. I don't think it's been cold enough this year, bro. I think all of us here are catching this crap, and it just won't go away.
Yeah, it gets hot and cold. Definitely seems to be quite a few people getting sick this year.
Yeah. You know, I think it's only fitting on tonight's show because, man, you're a tremendous warrior and you've walked a great path. So I think it's only fitting that we kind of take a step back to the last Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships fight before we take a step forward. Are you cool with that?
Oh, yeah. That sounds good to me, sir. Heck yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we put some polls up lately for the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships on who would like to face Arnold Adams. You know, what was it like for you to allow to go to the judges and know that in your heart you feel you've won that fight, but yet you didn't get the glory of that night? How does that feel for a warrior knowing that he gave his best, he feels he won? You know, we talked about this the other night. I've been thinking about it. I truly think that you're the only true aspect of a rematch after February 2nd that should be transpired in the world of Arnold Adams. What are your thoughts going back to the last fight and then going to after February 2nd?
You know, Don, you bring up a great point. And, you know, biggest thing that as a warrior in that point in time, letting it go to the judges and then getting the decision taken from you in a split decision in the title fight, it's you know, it takes the wind out of your sail. You know, it's disappointing. You know, I'm not blaming anyone but myself. You know, Arnold Adams, my hat's off to him. He's a warrior. He's a tough guy. But I do feel like I won that fight. I agree with you. I feel like after February 2nd, I should be the first one up for a title shot, considering it was a split decision, you know, and I think Arnold would agree with me that, you know, we have some unfinished business, and in order to be a champion, you know, I would think that it should be a definite thing, you know, a defined, you know, decision, KO, whatever it might be this next time. So.
Yeah, well, my 23 years in the sport, you know, it always has to be definitive. See, Bare Knuckle is so new, but I love the fact that scam promotion, Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation, got taken out early because it left the one and true promotion that that is in front of us, and that's the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. And I think Nate Shook and Dave Feldman and all involved are doing a tremendous job. You know, there's a lot of people gunning for Arnold Adams. I just think that, I mean, that's a only true retrospect, because I had Arnold on the show, and I said, well, when's your next fight? He said, man, you know, really haven't thought that far ahead. And I said, well, you know, the only way I think it would be see fitting to, since you had to win the tourney to become the world champion, that maybe they throw another tournament and that person gets the opportunity to face you. Or they unify it with overseas with the world bare knuckle fighting over there and it become a unified title. But since talking to you, I mean, you look at Lopez and Beltran, and that was the fight of the year. They got the rematch. I think it's only fitting that the Hillbilly gets this opportunity to face Arnold Adams again. You know, I think that's a fight that the fans truly want to see anyway. I really do.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. You know, Dave Feldman, Nate Shook, I know you're listening. I'll put up another poll if I got to let the fans speak. But, you know, I think it's what needs to happen. You know, February 2nd, USA versus Mexico. How important is it to Sam Shoemaker, not only to represent his country, but to represent who you are as a man in your walk?
You know, it's such an honor to be able to be on the Team USA, you know, representing the United States of America, down, you know, fighting with our fellow, you know, countrymen as far as in the North American continent, you know, Mexico, our neighbors. It's going to be an honor. There's so many tough fighters that come from Mexico, so many good boxers, MMA fighters. I mean, they're tremendous athletes and warriors. So I look forward to, you know, representing the red, white, and blue down there and just, you know, proving that, you know, I'm the better man that night and coming out of that with, you know, a big victory, you know, for all of us, you know, for America. And as far as my walk as a warrior, what an honor to, once again, you know, be a part of this team, you know. You know, they picked me to represent the United States, you know, to be a part of that team with so many other great athletes. You know, you got Shannon Rich fighting. Nick Rollins is coming down. She's going to be showcasing on the show. You know, Bobby Gunn's going to be fighting. I mean, there's a lot of good fights. You know, Tony Lopez and Beltran having a rematch. That's going to be such a good fight. Yeah, it's just a great feeling, you know, to be able to go out and do an international competition. I look forward to many, many more, hopefully, within this year and years to come.
You know, how would you define Sam Shoemaker? You come from the Show Me State, Missouri. You're with where I am. You grew up knowing tremendous aspects of the sport of boxing, two of which are very, very dear friends of mine, Dallas Cook and Skip Stewart. I kind of want to give my condolences to them. They lost a very dear friend today, so I was gonna call out and reach out to them and have them call into the show and speak with you, but I'm not gonna pursue that after I seen a post that they lost a common friend.
Yeah, very sad news, definitely.
Yeah. You know, what does it mean? You know, how was it that somebody from the Show Me State ends up in boxing, ends up a top caliber warrior in bare knuckle? How was it that you took that path and defined your walk? I mean, because growing up in life, we look at things two ways. We look at the side that wants to screw up, and then we look at the side that we know which is right. Who was the person that gave the intent to walk on the right path, or was it something that was compelled inside of you from an early age?
You know, growing up, I grew up in a very small rural area here in the central part of Missouri. You know, Lake of the Ozarks, it's well known for the lake, one of the number one recreational lakes in the United States. But as far as the towns around it, the one I lived in was very little. Gravel Woods Mills, Missouri. You know, when I was growing up, the population was barely over 100. And then the neighboring towns were, you know, 3,000 at the most. So it was just very humble beginning. Had a large family, a lot of males in it. We're always competing. You know, my brothers, my cousins, uncles, you know, friends. So always grew up playing sports, football, baseball, wrestling. You know, when my uncle actually started a boxing gym, and shortly thereafter, I was up there and I worked out with him a few times, and he asked me to, you know, start coming back up and compete in Golden Gloves, and I was 17 years old. So, you know, went up there and started training, and I loved it. Went to, went to Golden Gloves that year, won my first, the first Golden Gloves tournament that I ever fought in. It was a novice division, but still, it was pretty awesome. You know, went on to win two more open titles throughout my amateur career as far as boxing. You know, had over 50 fights. Fighting out of Kansas City, St. Louis, Springfield. Got to go to for nationals in Golden Gloves 1 year. Got to go out to Mesquite, Nevada, and compete at a national level. It was awesome. Grew up rough, just running wild, you know, playing sports and going to school and just hanging out with my friends. You know how it is, you know, out gravel roading. A lot of people might not even know what that is. But
no, I don't think they do.
Hunting and fishing and hanging out on the lake. But growing up, having a good work ethic as far as my father owned his own stone masonry business, and so did my grandfather. My uncle does still to this day. And growing up in that atmosphere, you know, if no one knows, stone masonry is very hard laboring work. And some of my earliest memories is out there helping them, you know, digging footings and stuff on the lake, because a lot of places you couldn't get machines to, so we just hand dig them, you know, hauling rock and things like that. And just, you know, growing up hard as far as that goes. You know, that keeps you lean, it keeps you strong. And so I think that's part of what helped me as far as some of my athletics and stuff growing up, you know, and of course good genetics. That doesn't hurt anything. My father was a good man. But I didn't have much direction in life until I was older and was able to meet a few influential people in my life. I mean, of course family members were there throughout my life and stuff, but a guy by the name of Charlie Sharp, he was actually a pastor, grabbed a hold of me and really helped guide me as far as in life and, you know, being a better person and you know, trying to help others out throughout life, because some people have it so much harder than others do. And I know that, you know, in the midst of things, we take things for granted and stuff. And I just, you know, I really get an enjoyment of trying to help others and be there for when people need people, you know, and just be a good person in the world. So,
you know, I love what you said, when I growed up. You know, and it's funny, then you corrected yourself. But, you know, to the rest of the country, that's the way we talk out here. You know, I was on a trip to California, and somebody asked me how I was, and I said I was fair to meddling. And they looked at me like I was I was throwing off, bro. And I was like, they said, what the hell, fair to meddling? I said, not good, not bad, just, you know, a little in between. I don't think they understood a damn thing I said. But, you know, I know what you mean, because I live in Brookline, Missouri, which is, you know, southwest corner of Springfield, you know, population 347. And so it's like, but basically we're correlated into Springfield. So, and it's not much bigger, you know. And that's what I like about it. You know, I originally lived in Wentzville, Missouri, when I was at, you know, 18 years old. So, you know, rural communities in the state prove and have provided some of the best warriors in the sport. You know, February 2nd is a tremendous opportunity for you, Sam. Not only are you coming off a lesson, so going into February 2nd, do you feel that there's a chip or an aspect on your shoulder that you have to show the bare knuckle fighting community or the sport, or is it something that you have to do for yourself, pulling out a win February 2nd?
I think both, 100%. I think I owe it to Dave Feldman, to myself, and to the fans, you know, to come out victorious in Mexico and hopefully in a very highlight reel fashion. I want to go out and prove that I belong, and that I belong in a title fight, and that title should be mine, and I should be wearing that belt, and people should be begging to fight me. That's what I think.
I'm not going to disagree with you, because it was a hell of a fight. You know, now, as a journalist, you know, I can only type up what's out there, because otherwise if other people call it, you know, a falsity or whatever. You know how social media is nowadays.
Right.
Now, if you can catch, because there's a lot of the bare knuckle community that's listening to the show tonight, because you have a tremendous fan base, and by rights you should. Now, can you catch us up on who your opponent is? Because it's not listed on the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships wall, their page. It's not listed as your, you know, up-and-coming fight or anything. So if you can catch us up on that, and what your thoughts are with him come February 2nd.
What I can find of the guy, his name is Joel Parades, and he is from around Tijuana, is what I'm told. He's a professional wrestler down in Mexico, and also in the past he was a pro weightlifter, and he's had some pro MMA fights as well. So he's a warrior in his own. Some of the pictures that I have seen of him, he's a big guy. You know, he's going to be in shape. He's going to come to fight, and there's it's going to be a war.
It's going to be tremendous. You know, I was giving Joey Beltran and Tony Kryptonite Lopez a bad time. I said, how did they decide which one of you was going to fight for Mexico, considering you're both Mexican? And they said a coin toss, man. I was dying. You know, it killed me. You know, but what I want to kind of take a step even further back in your life just a little bit, Sam. We got, you know, a little over 15 minutes left in this interview. You know, I've probably shot you in your amateur career. This is a crazy thing. But how does a person with such a tremendous record in boxing find himself with that aspect of wanting to correlate into the bare-knuckle world? You know, this is a question that I've wanted to ask many bare-knuckle fighters, because you were tremendous at what you do. You had a great future at what you do. But then this new era aspect of an old sport pops up. What was it that made Sam Shoemaker sign that line with the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships? What was it that drew you to it?
I mean, just the pure form of being bare knuckle in there toe-to-toe with just you and one other person, you know, no gloves, bringing back history. I love to be able to be a part of history, to usher this new but old era of combat in. And everyone's always going to remember those first few fighters that get in and start it. You know, look at the first UFCs. You know, people always remember all the warriors that were involved in that. And I just want to help. You know, I believe in it. I come from a long family of bare knucklers. I mean, my father and my uncle were well known for being able to handle their business with their fists. And people would come down to the lake for vacation from Kansas City and St. Louis, and, you know, there'd be Golden Glove boxers and other people coming. And they would come and seek out my family to fight to prove that they were tougher than us. And nine times out of ten, it didn't go their way. My grandfather was a boxer and a bare knuckle fighter as well, as well as a World War II veteran. And he fought a lot in the military. And we just have been passing that down. And to be able to have the opportunity to do it professionally and to be a part of the history of ushering it in is amazing. And just, that's worth it to me right there to do it.
Yes, most definitely. You know, it's tremendous to come from a family that has a background in that aspect. You know, me and you talked about this the other day. You know, not only are you adding to your legacy, but you're cemented in the history books as the new era aspect of bare knuckle fighting here in the Americas. You're added to the history books. So now you're a foundation of the sport. What does it mean to Sam Shoemaker and his family to finally not only just build on that legacy, but be instilled in history?
I mean, it's such an honor and humbling, and just, it's kind of almost unbelievable. Sometimes I have to pinch myself and be like, yes, this is really, really happening, you know. And, you know, when I talk to Dave Feldman or Nate Shook, you know, and just everything's just gone so good with it. You know, everything with them guys, they're just true guys to their word, you know, and just have really treated me well. And every other fighter that I've known that they've dealt with here in Bare Knuckle has really had good things to say about them. So, it's just I don't know. Like I said, just unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, February 2nd is getting closer. You know, you say you have a tremendous opponent. You know, God, I'm stymied over this because the ability that you have is tremendous. You know, now you're representing the country. You're going to Cancun. It's not a vacation. It's much more than that. It's not a vacation. Yeah, that kind of got asked to suck a little bit there, Sam. You're going down to Cancun, Mexico, where most people go for vacation, but you're going there to get in a fist fight.
Yep, I'm there for a whole business. Yeah. Yep, that's for sure. A little bit.
Yeah. But you know, I wanted to ask you a question. You know, because I mentioned these two gentlemen earlier, and we talked about them on a prior show, but these two gentlemen truly have changed boxing overall in general in the years that they've been in the state of Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas. Well, let's just say a four-state area. And that being Dallas Cook and Skip Stewart. What did it mean for you as a younger man to have that type of application instilled in your life?
You know, those guys there are legends. You know, where I come from, and like you said, in the four-state area, and nationwide for that matter. Dallas has two tremendous boys that's, you know, they're very talented professional fighters. And just the stock that they come from, you know, Dallas was a veteran, and he was a boxer in his youth and was very good. And, you know, Skip Stewart, too, he was a boxer in his youth. And the just the knowledge that they've been able to share with me and just showing me how to treat fighters, you know, they care about the fighters that they interact with in their life. And whether you go to their gym personally or they just meet you and become friends through sparring and things like that, you know, they are very good at what they do. They care about it, and they give back so much. You know, they have such big hearts. And to have something like that in my life as far as them two gentlemen was something that, you know, is unique to me as far as being able to have two of them, not just one, you know, in my life. You know, outside of just my own trainer, they would take me in and train me on their own at heartbeat by asking. You know, great fellows, very knowledgeable. And any fighter who has an opportunity to train or to even have them touch their lives is blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm blessed because, you know, I get to know these gentlemen. I get to donate all my times and services to the Golden Gloves and to the little tournaments in Kansas City, down in Neosho, and everywhere around. And it's like, I don't know, the boxing world is where I got my start a little over 23 years ago, and the brotherhood, sisterhood in boxing is just, it's tremendous. You know, I see this new correlation happening in the bare-knuckle boxing community. You know, how hard is it for someone like yourself to correlate with others? And because what I find is right now the sport is so new that people truly don't have a full understanding of it. So how hard is it for you, Sam, to explain the aspect that you're in now to people that follow you? Because, you know, I post about it and people it's almost like they're not sure about it. Do you get the same application in return?
Yeah, I do. Some people definitely are, you know, they are shy from it or have a lot of questions about it, which is understandable. But once you, you know, get down to the ins and outs of bare knuckle and the safety first, I think the carnage and the safety aspect is what a lot of people question. You know, oh, it's barbaric, this and that. Actually, according to some of the studies and stuff that they've been doing, it is actually less brain damage to be in a bare knuckle fight than it is a glove fight.
Well, I agree with you there because me and Jacob Stitch Duran, who is a legendary cut man and is known for having every aspect in his genre, from boxing to Muay Thai to bare knuckle, you name it, he's done it, you know, MMA, everything. And he felt that it was the safest sport in the world. And this is a gentleman that would never make a statement like that, never put his name on anything, but he sure as hell has put a stamp of approval on the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. So for my listeners and those that are wondering about the sport, it is truly one of the safest, fast-growing aspects of the sport. It's, you know, what's funny, though, it's been around since, I mean, the 1800s. So it was actually the first form of fighting and it's just been brought back in a new era aspect. You know, Sam, February 2nd is going to be a tremendous opportunity for you. You know, and I like to, you know me, I like to get, let you give your thanks in different aspects. But who is it in your life that truly has stood by you, truly has pushed you when you wanted to walk away, truly has, you know, whispered those words you needed to hear to pick you up off the ground each and every time? Who are those people in your life that have truly helped you? Who, you know, and how would you like to give them a statement of thanks?
Man, I, you know, definitely my family, my friends, and the list, you know, starting at, you know, in no, you know, order from more important to least important. The one that's right by my side every day is my wife. You know, she has supported me through the thick and thin, and through my career. We have three beautiful children together, and she's always been there pushing me, encouraging me, backing me up when I'm not home, filling in when I'm not home, picking up on my side of the chores when I'm not home, you know, cooking me dinners and putting them in a microwave or in the fridge for me for when I do get home, and then getting them out and warming up. I mean, just a true, true blessing in my life. My wife has definitely been there for me in and out. My uncle, my trainer, you know, he's been a blessing from day one, in and out, you know, through the ups and downs of from an amateur all the way up into the pros, you know, driving long distances, you know, being with me through the ins and outs of it, teaching me, you know, from the very beginning. You know, my brothers, Mike, Jim, and Joe, they all three have just been there with me, especially since I've turned my pro career, you know, just like tonight. My brother Joe, he sacrificed getting out with me, and I went running down one of our gravel roads, and he was following me in the truck in the headlights so that I could do my thing tonight, you know, and then going to the gym with me and working out and just pushing me and being there for me and encouraging me and actually being critical enough to tell me when I'm not looking good and when I need to pick it up and stop being such a pussy, if you don't mind my words.
No, you're fine.
Just making it happen, you know. And then, like I said, my brother Mike, Jim, and Joe, another friend of mine who's like a brother, you know, Chris Sutton. He's been there helping me train and just being through this journey and helping with a lot of the social media things and aspects and just being there to really help out. And, you know, it's just those select individuals right there especially have really been there for me. And then, of course, through my bare-knuckle thing, you know, it's just been such an honor to be a part of it. And them guys have backed me the whole way. You know, they never doubted me, and they never told me not to do it. They said, you know, follow your dream. So it's been great to have that encouragement and the support from all of them.
Most definitely. You know, Sam, I'm going to put you on the spot. February 2nd, what kind of statement would you like to, you know, leave with the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships community, your fans, your followers, your friends and family? What kind of statement would you like to reiterate? I know you don't talk crap because you're not that type of warrior, but if you had to make a statement, what would it be?
You know, I'm definitely going for the KO. You know, I want to walk out there with my hands raised with the KO and making a statement that I'm here to be reckoned with here in the bare knuckle, you know, realm, and to you know, hopefully convince a few individuals that I need a title shot. That we need to make a, you know, whether, you know, I go in there and beat Arnold Adams or he goes in there and beats me. But there's a definite chance, you know, that night.
Well said, my friend. You know, Dave Feldman, Nate Shook, and all of the bare knuckle aspects have truly defined an old sport and made it great again. You know, one thing I admire about Dave Feldman is that when he called me and asked me to start doing these, you know, we correlated to do these shows, one thing he said about me was he liked that I was willing to go against the grain. Well, I'm from the show-me state, and I'm going to call you out if you're doing something wrong in the sport. Am I wrong? I mean, we're all that way, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
You know,
born and bred.
That's the way we're born here. You know, it's like, you know, we call it like we see it, you know, and I truly think you've created a truly historic pathway for yourself, bro. I'm proud of you. I can't wait for February 2nd. I think you're going to show the world even more, who's Sam Shoemaker, show him the hillbilly, you know, so, you know, show him what's really up. But it's truly been an honor to have you on the show tonight. I look forward to each and every time, man. I know I'm going to have you back on after February 2nd because I already know in my heart and in my thoughts where this fight's going to go. And, yes, I am biased to my listeners. If you want to know why, go look at his fights. Go look at his career, and you'll see why I truly back this man. It's not just because he's from Missouri, but he's a true, dedicated warrior. You know, Sam, I'm going to pass the mic to you if you have any sponsors, friends or family, or social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program. The floor is yours, brother.
Don, I really appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity for coming on the show. You know, I want to give another shout-out to my beautiful wife, my brothers, my uncle, all of the fans, the sponsors, Dave Feldman, Nate Shook. You guys have just been there for me, you know, from day one, really helping me out through this walk through bare knuckle. You know, on my sponsors part of it, Veracruz Restaurant here in Versailles, Missouri. They've been there with me from day one. They've been, you know, helping me, and they really help out the community around here. They have a great product they sell at their restaurant. Maybe my family and I, we love going there and eating. It's a, you know, a great family restaurant, good service. My buddy, he's got his Heart Smoking Sauce. You can get it on Amazon or through some of the local grocery stores here at the Lake of the Ozarks. It's amazing stuff. It'll change your life. It's not just barbecues. It will replace your ketchup, I swear. But, you know, good stuff. But, you know, White Witch Body Art, they're where I get most of my ink work done. They're the ones that put the American flag on my arm. I love it. They do good work. We got more plans to go with it. You know, look them up over in Lake Ozark, Missouri. Then just want to give a shout-out again. You know, to my wife and my family, you know, and just, you know, thanks for everything. Like I said, they supported me through all of this, and it's just been a truly, truly great honor to be a part of it. You know, and my community has been such a, you know how it is here in Missouri, especially in the rural areas, man. They've really just been behind me and really supported me and just been great through the ups and the downs of it. And just, it's amazing to have such friends and family and fans here in this area. So, Missouri, period.
Well, you know, that's one thing about Missourians, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody else anywhere else in the country, but when I'm, you know, I lived here when I was younger, and then I came back, and, you know, a lot of people across the country, they don't believe me when I tell them this, you know, I say, well, when we turn on our news, we still got the elementary, junior, high school, and high school sports on our news, and people are like, man, get out of here, bro. No, you know, we take heart in the fact that family first. And that's one thing I love about the state of Missouri. It truly is a family first state. It truly is about, you know, kind of keeping things back the old-fashioned way. And yep. That's what I love about Missouri is we don't like change. I mean, our weather, we don't have no choice, but you hang around 15 minutes, it'll change on you anyway. But, you know, Sam, I wish you the best of luck come February 2nd. USA versus Mexico down there in Cancun. You know, I know, brother, you're going to get your arm raised. I can feel it. And then I'd love to have you back on, and we'll talk about maybe that retrospect with Arnold Adams. I think you truly deserve that. I'm going to be bugging Nate Shook about that myself and Mr. Feldman. I think that's a fight the world truly wants to see you in after February 2nd. I wish you the best of luck, my brother. Thank you for coming on the show. You truly are a blessing to the sport.
Yes, sir, Don, and I appreciate you. Thanks for having me, and it'll be an honor to come back on anytime, sir. I look forward to it.
Most definitely. We'll do it again, bro. Good luck, my friend. Right. God bless.
Thank you. Yep, God bless. God.
Oh, Sam Shoemaker, the hillbilly. Tremendous man. You know, I put a poll out there today because I wanted to know, you know, because I don't always dig too deep into the sports aspect. I want you to know the fighter. I truly want you to know the fighter. Well, I can't even speak right now. I got so amped up, got to interview a Missouri boy. But while we wait for Beck Rollins to call in, oh, well, she's here right now. Let's go ahead and bring her on. Hey, Beck, welcome to the Fighter's Voice. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing tremendous. You know, I look back, I've shot aspects of your fight and of your fights, I should say. I've been in this industry for 23 years. And never in my wildest dreams that I would ever think I would see Beck Rollins in bare-knuckle fighting. What was it that truly led you to this aspect of the sport?
When I was competing in the UFC, I broke my hip in the lead-up to one of my fights against Joanne Calderwood, and it really forced me to stop wrestling and doing jiu-jitsu and things and just focus on my boxing. And that really ignited, like, a love, you know, like a newfound love for boxing. And so when I left the UFC, I had in the back of my head that I wanted to compete in boxing and, like, you know, give it a go and see how I went in that. And then Bare Knuckle Boxing, Bare Knuckle FC got in contact with me, and I was like, well, this is perfect because I'm used to small gloves with MMA and I just get to box. So I'm like, this is perfect and made for me. So, and I fell in love with the sport instantly.
Yeah, it truly is a tremendous aspect. You know, I just had Sam Shoemaker on. We were talking about how some people look at it and they say, oh, it's brutal, it's this. When it's truly the first form of boxing that was correlated in the United States and overseas, you know, it's actually an old sport that's just been revamped in a new era aspect. What did it mean for you to get that phone call from Dave Feldman and Nate Shook and give you this opportunity for you to continue not only as a veteran but a pioneer in the sport?
It means a lot to me to know that they have faith in me and, you know, they saw something in me and thought that I would do good at this sport. You know, it's nice to have people believe in you and give you the stage to go out there and perform. So it's really cool that they came to me with the opportunity and, you know, it's a partnership. I believed in them and they believed in me. And it's done wonderful so far. So, you know, I've had an amazing time at both of my fights with them. They treat me, like, awesome, and I'm happy again. You know, I went through a stage where I was forgetting why I was fighting. I lost the love for what I was doing it for, and it's kind of reignited that love for fighting again within me, and I'm happy and healthy, and I think it shows in my performances.
Yeah. You know, my show, you've never been on my show before, so I'll kind of explain how we kind of do things here. We like to share the aspect of not only who you are as a warrior, but also who you are as a person in life and your walk. If there's ever a question that I ask that you don't feel comfortable in answering, just say I'm not comfortable and we'll move on. My show is not about drama either, Beck, so don't worry about that.
Yep.
You know, you look back at your career in the UFC, you're predominantly one of the first pioneers in that aspect. What did it truly mean for you to be a pioneer in mixed martial arts and create the name that you did, create the road that you did? How much of a legacy do you feel that you left behind in mixed martial arts in Beck Rollins?
You know, when I look back at it, you know, I definitely feel like I led the way for females out of Australia fighting as well. So it's pretty cool to, you know, lead the way in bare knuckle and for women and not even just Australian, but for women all around the world to get into this sport and see how much, you know, in how good the sport is, how much fun it is. It's pretty cool to create that legacy. You know, I had a bit of a rough run in the UFC, and I think, you know, I took some fights I shouldn't have, and I never turned down a fight, and I think that's something that's always stays with me. You know, I never shy away from a challenge, and I think that proved, you know, me taking a shot at bare knuckle. You know, I wasn't scared. I was excited to get in there and give it a go, you know. So I definitely think that's a part of my legacy. My record may have been wishy-washy in the UFC, but I never turned down a fight. I took every challenge that they threw at me, and I never got given an easy road like some people. So that's one thing I'll always you know, keep in the back of my mind that I've always stepped up to the challenge, and if I can lead the way for other fighters and athletes to do that, and I think it brings back the purity of the sport. You know, you're not picking fights and trying to pad your record. Just go out there and fight the best, and fight whoever's thrown at you, and who wins, wins.
I like that. I like how you put that. You know, how does a young lady from But how does a young lady from Tasmania find her way into the world of combat sports? You know, back in the time when you were born, it wasn't the norm for a young lady to jump into combat. What was it that drew you to it? What was it that excited you about it, and what kept you there?
Like, I was a very rough kid growing up. I was the youngest of four kids, so I had to learn how to defend myself pretty quickly. I was a tomboy, so I wasn't a real girly girl. So I was very highly competitive. I competed in gymnastics, in basketball. And, you know, I went through a real rough patch of my life where I was out causing trouble, starting fights, you know, just being a real hoodlum. And I recognized I needed to get out of that life, you know, do something better with myself. And that's where when I started training in kickboxing. And it gave me, it was an outlet for me to hit and punch and, you know, kick something, but to, you know, learn respect for myself and others and get fit and healthy while I was doing it. And that kind of ignited the love for the sport. And that's when I found MMA and started to challenge myself in that. You know, I've always, like I said, I've never shied down from a challenge. It was just about guiding me on the right path to that challenge. You know, stop going out there and challenging people on the street, or, you know, getting myself into trouble and things like that. It was about testing myself in the gym or in the cage or in the ring, and actually taking pride in what I'm doing.
I like that. What does it mean for you back to have fighters that are in the bare knuckle fighting community and bare knuckle fighting championships, just like Christine Ferrier, have them look up to you, have them see you as a role model? I mean, because you truly have transitioned an aspect of female fighters that have truly followed in your footsteps, and they look up to you, they emulate you. What does that mean to you, not only as a warrior, but as a young lady in your walk?
You know, like, I never really thought that I was setting an example for people. You know, a lot of the things I did earlier on in my career was, you know, I would behave a certain way and act a certain way and not really realize that I'm actually setting an example for other fighters and young girls and things like that, you know. And I think now I'm more cautious of how I'm carrying myself and what I'm saying, because I've said some controversial things in my time. But, you know, it's really cool to know that I can kind of be a role model for people. I never thought, you know, I never thought I was that good, if that makes sense, that people were going to look up to me. Like, as a child, I looked up to only one athlete ever. I really, like, oh, that would be cool, I'd like to be like her. But I never really had someone that I would hold as a role model, I guess. So I never really thought about it. But now that you say it, that people look up to me or emulate me, it's a pretty cool feeling, I guess. But it also makes you a little bit cautious of how you're carrying yourself and what you're doing. Because I don't want to, you know, chuck people down the wrong road if they think, oh, that's cool, Beck did this or Beck said that. I'm like, no, don't copy me. I'm not a responsible adult. I may be, you know, 29 years old, but I'm still a child.
I love it. You know, February 2nd is going to be a tremendous night, but I kind of want to take a step back just a second. Your last fight with Bret Hart was tremendous, you know. And what has even astounded me more about you is you weren't really a boxer per se. So when you stepped into bare-knuckle boxing, you know, you took the knowledge that you've ascertained from training that you've learned and utilized over the years in the sport. How hard was it for you to correlate from the cage to the ring?
You know, I give a lot of credit to my coach, John Bastable. He didn't train me for this, for bare knuckle thinking about a boxing fight. The bare knuckle aspect changes a lot of the things you got to do in there. So he's got a very long background of kung fu, Muay Thai, and boxing. So he put together a program, you know, that would work for bare knuckle, and it's paid off. You know, I'm so calm, cool, and collected in there. I'm not thinking, oh, this girl doesn't have gloves on. That's not, you know, coming into my mind or anything. I am so confident when I'm in there that I have the skill set to beat anyone that they put in front of me, and I think that shows in there. And, you know, like, I've always been a predominant striker, I guess you could say, for MMA. No one really knew me as a jiu-jitsu or a wrestler girl. So striking's always been my number one love. We've just fine-tuned it for bare knuckle, and I've got a lot more time to focus on my boxing now that I don't have to wrestle and kick and try and squeeze so many martial arts into one session. So I think getting ready for a bare knuckle fight is a lot less stressful for me.
Yeah. Well, before we get into Cecilia Flores, there's a question that I'm dying to ask you, because there's been MMA fighters that I've interviewed just about almost all this whole card, but how hard was it for you, Beck, not to shoot for the double leg, not to correlate a kick? I mean, people don't understand. This is what's your bread and butter, you know, in mixed martial arts. So when you jumped into bare knuckle, how hard was it for you not to shoot for that double leg or throw a kick, my friend?
I think the hardest thing is not to throw elbows in the clinch. that was my hardest obstacle. Yeah, I've always, because leading up, before I signed with bare knuckle, we were working on a lot of elbows and clipping from the inside. So it became, you know, my natural instinct to throw elbows. So that was my hardest obstacle to get over, was to not, you know, get disqualified by elbowing these girls. But, you know, it's not that hard. I was never a big kicker. So that kind of played into my advantage, because I didn't go out there and wanting to kick these girls. I've always wanted to throw hands. But, yeah, elbows were the hardest thing.
Well, you know, Beck, you're not only the first, you know, new era female bare knuckle world champion, and you not only added to the legacy of what you've already created for yourself in the sport in general, but now you've cemented yourself into the history books like Arnold Adams did. You know, this is something that no matter what, down the road, if you get taught a lesson and the belt goes somewhere else, this is something that 10, 20 years from now, that somebody can pick up a book on sports and read, and it'll show that you're the first female champion in bare knuckle, the new era aspect of bare knuckle fighting championships. What does that mean to you, not as a warrior, but as a person that sees herself setting goals and accomplishing them, but now you've added to your legacy, but now also you're the foundation of the sport?
Yeah, you know, it didn't really hit me until after my first fight, you know, the kind of history we just created, myself and Alma Garcia. And to come out victorious that night was a huge honor, you know. It didn't really hit me until afterwards, like what we did in there. And that I'll be in the history books one day. And my coach gave me a book on the history of bare knuckle. And while I'm looking through it, I'm like, you know, in a certain amount of years' time, you know, that's going to be my picture, and that's going to be a blurb about me and where I came from and what I did. And that's a really cool feeling. you know, I never intentionally set out to make history, or, you know, to do something that no one had ever done before. It kind of just happened. I didn't force it. And it's just really cool that it has happened, and I've managed to be, you know, successful in this sport.
Yeah. Oh, it's tremendous, because as with Arnold Adams, you two are the first champions in this sport. And that's something that nobody can ever take away from you. You know, so I think that's pretty cool because, you know, legacies are created, but when you're instilled in history, that's a feather in your hat because that shows that all the hard work and determination that you've put into who you are has truly and finally paid off. You know, we jumped to February 2nd, Cancun, Mexico, Cecilia Flores. What does that fight truly mean to Beck Rawlins? I think it's a tremendous matchup. I think the matchmakers at the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships do a tremendous job, but I see you outclassing Flores. It's my personal opinion, but I see you winning this fight. You know, what are your thoughts going into February 2nd?
I don't try to focus too much on my opponents. Obviously, you try to study them and see what kind of fighter they're going to be, but there's not much on my opponent that you can find on her. I know she's an MMA girl. I know she's probably had a bunch of fights that aren't on record. So she's going to be tough. And I'm just making sure I'm ready to go out there and fight my fight. And I think that's how you've got to approach these fights. You can always have a game plan, but sometimes it's just not going to work. You got to have plan B and plan C. And you know, my plan A is always, what am I going to do? How am I going to approach this fight? And what are the things I'm going to pull off in there? And I think that's why I'm being so successful. I'm not getting flustered. I'm not trying to figure out what they're going to do. I'm going out there and believing in my skill set and my techniques and knowing that I can execute them.
You know, you've come a long way from Invicta Fighting Championships, my friend. A very long way. You know what? That's where I first met you. And, you know, it's crazy because out of all of Invicta, I think I've only missed four events. And, God, I'm getting old. But, you know, I saw then a young warrior that was eager, that wanted to prove herself to the world, and you truly have. Who is the one person in your life or the people in your life that fed you the true intent that you needed to persevere and overcome all the obstacles that you have? Because you said earlier that, you know, life wasn't always easy for Beck Rawlins. So who were those people that gave you the intent that you needed to succeed?
I don't know. I guess, I haven't had the easiest road. I've had to deal with some, shitty hands that I've been dealt. But I think it's just something that I was born with. I've always been a tenacious, stubborn girl that never really fit in anywhere, that always kind of, I wouldn't say a rule breaker, but I would question. I would question everything, and sometimes that questioning would get me into a lot of shit. And I would push the boundaries and, see how far I could take it. And I don't think anyone really taught me that. It's just been how I am, how I was born. My family are very stubborn and competitive, and we're quite hardened. We're Australian. I don't know if you've got the got the vibe that Aussies are just bred tough. I had a bit of a crazy upbringing. Nothing too nuts, though. It was most of the drama I caused myself, just with being the kind of person that I am. So, but I think, my biggest backbone's been my mom. She was a single mom of four, and she worked a shift work as a full-time nurse. She juggled all four of us kids, even me when I was in my rebellious stage. So, that's always in the back of my mind that, she's always been a survivor in herself and a nurturing one as well. So probably get it mostly from my mom.
Yeah, that's tremendous. You know, I look at the whole picture of things, and sometimes we don't plan our life, things just happen that way. Here you are this many years into your career. Now that you get the opportunity to look back over your shoulder, Beck, did you ever surmise that you would have accomplished all the things that you have in such a short period of time, and now recreate yourself in a second chapter of your life, per se?
No, I would never have thought that I would be where I am right now. Especially being, you know, a little hood rat coming from Tasmania, up to no good. You know, my high school teachers always told me I was never going to amount to anything, you know. So, you know, I have next to nothing education, and I've managed to hustle my way through through life and raising two beautiful boys and managing to, you know, be a professional athlete in an amazing sport. I would never have thought I would be here today. You got to sometimes sit back and have a look and take a deep breath and realize how what you've done, what you've actually achieved in life, because sometimes you just forget and you're always looking ahead and, you know, seeing what other people have and where they've gone and what they're doing, and you kind of lose focus of what you've actually done and where you came from. So it's a good reminder to sit back and have a look around and be grateful for what you have and where you've been and where you're going.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you mentioned you have children. You know, how do your children look up to you, and how hard is it being a mother of children and being a full-time competitor in the sport? Is it an aspect that's a family affair, or is it something that has had to been correlated into that aspect? And do you see your children following in your footsteps back?
You know, I think as they're getting older, they're actually realizing how cool their mom really is. Now they're proud to tell their friends, you know, like, my mom's a bare knuckle fighter. She's a world champ. So, you know, I catch them bragging about me now, but, you know, they've always been a gym baby. I found the sport after I had my two boys. So it's kind of been, this is just how it's been. You know, I've always had the kids at the gym, and I've just mum's trains and then we go home. So, you know, it's quite easy. My kids are easy. They're used to the routine. And they're my motivation. You know, there's no more motivation than your kids on the sidelines watching you train and push yourself. You can't quit in front of your kids. You know, what kind of example are you setting that when it gets hard, you're going to quit? So you push harder and you want to win those rounds and you want to look, you know, look good on pads. You want to perform well because you've got two little boys that are looking up at you like you're their world. So they definitely made me the fighter I am today. They motivate me every day, and, you know, I push every day to be better and make sure I win come fight night, because I've got two little boys depending on that.
See, I think that's what has allowed certain aspects of you to come 360. You know, it's funny, I interviewed Julian Lane. And I've been doing this for years. And, you know, the first time I interviewed him, you know, he goes, "What, you're not going to bring up that incident from The Ultimate Fighter?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Okay, every show I go on, that's the first thing they ask me." And I said, "You've grown up since then, haven't you, bro?" I said, "You're a different man in your walk now." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "So why should I even go there?" And he was like, "Man, I appreciate you. I love your show." And I think that's what's wrong with social media nowadays. They want to take things that you or I or anybody else has done in the past and correlate it with us now. And I think that's the bad side of social media. You know, people do grow up. They do move on. You know, and we all make mistakes in life. Nobody is better than anybody else. But one thing you truly have astounded me in is the ability that you show as a warrior. The amount of sportsmanship that you show is tremendous. So when you look at February 2nd in Cancun, what does it truly mean to Beck Rollins, not just the warrior, not just the fighter, but the mother, the lady in her walk?
I guess, you know, I have something I'm going out there and defending. It's my belt. It's my legacy. And I'm not going to let anyone take that away from me. So, you know, I put so much hard work day in and day out to fight and perform come fight night. So to go out there and actually perform to your potential is my number one thing. I've always said if I go out there and fight like shit, I'm not even upset about the result. It's more that I've wasted, I wasted all this time in the gym to go out there and not have fun and not perform. So to go out there and perform and put on a fight for the fans and win, it's going to mean everything to me. I don't even think you can put it into words how much defending this belt and, continuing on this legacy, how much that means to me.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And, the heat isn't even going to bother you, nor is the humidity, because where you come from, it's hot anyway. so
yeah.
I think it's actually hotter where you come from, isn't it?
Well, it's hotter right now. We're in summer right now, so it's getting pretty hot. Hot and humid right now. We're going through a huge heat wave, so I'm definitely acclimated to the weather, so it's not going to be an issue once we get to Cancun. So, and that's, I think, obviously altitude and things like that can mess with people, but I never really let weather and time zones and things like that get to me. If you don't pay it any mind, it doesn't exist. I'm a strong believer in that, so don't manifest it, and it won't come through. I've always liked it. It's out of mind, out of sight kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that. I've always looked at you as a fighter that was built from heart, determination, and integrity. I've always admired what you brought to the cage and now what you bring to the ring. Beck, if you had to write on a piece of paper a statement to be put in a time capsule for future generations to read, what would that statement be?
I think it'd be fight your fight and never give up. That could be, translated into anything in life. It doesn't have to mean like if you can actually go out there and fight. It means it's like your life to fight for. You fight it how you want to fight it, and just don't give up. The shit gets hard, and you just keep pushing.
So I'm gonna ask you a question because you gave me a little insight there. I asked Kung Lee this question. He asked to come back on the show a second time, and he said, "You better bring in McGuire. The first interview was tremendous. You better bring it the second time." And so I really didn't know where to go because I had taken him from the fall of Saigon to being bullied at 10. To him fighting in the UFC, and how much more can you add? And
yeah.
But you remind me in a lot of ways in the retrospect of a true mixed martial artist, so which you are. So I'm going to ask you these three words, and I want you to give me the best answers you possibly can. What does pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to Beck Rollins?
Oh, God. I feel like I'm back at school getting tested.
Well, they do call me the Barbara Walters of the sport, so.
I'm not ready for this. Shit, I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to actually put some thought into that.
Oh, you mean I actually stumped Beck Rollins?
You have. I feel like I'm back at school.
All right, we'll put it into a different aspect. Okay, since you stepped into bare knuckle away from the octagon, the bare knuckle was the rebirth of Beck Rollins, and now going into Cancun is the second chapter. And let's say you opened up that journal, and you had to write out the first statement in that on that fresh page about where Beck Rollins is at in her life, what would that statement read?
I think I answered that before, saying that I've found my happiness again. I've found my love again. And I think that's the most important thing in life and if you're going to fight or in sport. You can't lose the passion for it. You can't let the love get out of the sight, if that makes sense. Like, if you don't love what you're doing and love where you're at in life and why you're doing it, and I think that's the biggest thing that I've realized, I guess, is that I'm happy, healthy, and I'm loving life right now. And that's the main, you know, important thing.
You seem extremely, extremely elated in life, and that's tremendous. Because it, would you say that? Let me ask you a hard question, an elephant in the room question. You know, I only got one or two more questions, and then we'll let you get about your day, I guess, because it's daytime for you, I believe. You know, would you say if Bare Knuckle was there before the opportunity to step into the UFC or mixed martial arts in that aspect, do you think that you would have chose the same path, or do you think you would have took a step into Bare Knuckle first?
I probably would have took a step into Bare Knuckle first, to be honest. Yeah, I definitely think boxing is so strong in Australia. All of our gyms, it's like you grow up boxing. So I definitely probably would have found my way into Bare Knuckle before I found my way into MMA. Like, I moved my whole life from one state to the other just to be able to train and fight for a promotion up here in Australia, because there was nothing for me in Tasmania. So I definitely think I probably would have found Bare Knuckle before MMA.
Yeah. You know, February 2nd is a tremendous night for you. I'm not going to say it's the greatest night of your career, because that's not true. The greatest night of your career was winning the belt. And I know you're going to defend that belt with all of your heart and all of who you are as an individual, as a warrior, you know. So if you had to make a statement to the bare knuckle fighting world, to the Beck Rollins fans, about what they can expect come February 2nd in Cancun, Mexico, USA versus Mexico, what would that statement be?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, I'm not changing the game. We're creating the game. The way I fight, the things I'm bringing to Bare Knuckle is people don't do it. People haven't seen it. And every fight I'm bringing in new things, new techniques. And I really think I'm creating, you know, the perfect blueprint. February 2nd, I'm going to prove that once again and shock the world with even, you know, better and newer shit that we're bringing to the table. So revolutionary, I guess.
Yeah, it truly is. I mean, that's a perfect word for you, Beck, revolutionary. I mean, because that pretty much surmises your career. You know, it's been a revolution with you. No, you know, Beck, I know this is going to be a tremendous night for you. It's an honor to have you on my show. It's been an honor to interview you. You know, I'm going to give you the opportunity in a second to shout out your sponsors and things like that. But, you know, a lot of times we don't get the opportunities, and there's a lot of Wikipedia and Tapology shows out there. You know this. I know this. This show was created so we can kind of show a different side of who you are and give you aspects to, you know, on the show that you wouldn't be given on another network. You know, I like to let the fighters give thanks to those who stood, beside them, the ones that whispered those words of intent when you truly, truly needed it. You know, the ones that gave you that push when you wanted to walk away. For those types of aspects in your life that truly helped define you, what statement of thanks would you give to them?
You know, I definitely, people think this is just like a one-man sport. It's just you out there fighting, but it's not at all true. I've got an amazing team and support behind me, and I've had that for years. My family have always been there and supported me, and I'm truly grateful for everyone that's believed in me and supported me through the ups and the downs of my crazy career. So, but, you know, the biggest help that I'm receiving now is from Lone U. They sponsor my gym and they sponsor us athletes, so we're able to get into the gym and train daily and not have to worry about finance and, you know, having to go to work and things like that. So it's a lot kinder on my schedule, I guess, that I can go into the gym and focus and train twice a day and not have to worry about that. So definitely they're my hugest supporters, and they come out to every fight of mine. So it's really cool to have a team like that.
You know, I love that. Yeah, I want to take you back one step because I want people to get a little bit more insight than just Beck Rollins, the bare-knuckle fighter and world champion. You know, I think it was back in 2012, I think, when Shannon Knapp had said that you were probably something that she had never seen in the sport before. And you went on in 2012 to win the Women's Mixed Martial Arts Awards, and you were the 2012 favorite female fighter with 265 votes, I believe it was. That was 70 more than Ronda Rousey. So what did that moment mean for Beck Rollins, knowing that back in the day she was even better in some aspects than some of the world champions in the UFC?
Yeah, it was a really cool feeling. You know, they my fan base and support back then when, you know, I was breaking out to the US scene was amazing, and they're part of the reason why I got the opportunities I got given and really got pushed into the US market. And it was amazing. You know, I never thought entering like that competition, like fan favorite. I was like, there's no way I'm going to beat Ronda Rousey. Like, I was just like, whatever, like, it's not going to happen. But you know, it was nuts. It really was. And I'm forever grateful and thankful for all my supporters that have supported me from that day. You know, it's been a roller coaster. So, I definitely don't think I would win that competition nowadays, but it was a pretty cool feat.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to throw a peek of your past back out there for some of the new fans that you have, because you're creating a tremendously new fan base. You're creating a tremendous aspect, new aspect of who you are. And not only, like we talked about earlier, are you building on your legacy, but now you're cemented into history. And nobody can take that from you. With that being said, Beck, you know, I wish you the best of luck come February 2nd in Cancun. You truly deserve every opportunity that comes your way. And I think you're going to be a world champion for many years to come. I think you found the true calling and where you were meant to be in the sport. You know, I do want to add one more thing before I toss the microphone to you for your sponsors. You know, it was an honor for Dave Feldman to call me and ask me to do these interviews, because he said that I go against the grain for the betterment of the sport. You know, I truly showcase and show the fighters for who they truly are. And, you know, I'd like to give him another shout-out in return, you know, because he's truly a promoter that really cares and believes in his fighters. What does it mean to Beck Rollins to have a promotion that truly backs their fighters instead of, you know, tries to, you know, the other promotions try to do them dirty. So I guess what I'm saying is, what does it mean for you to have a promotion that truly respects you and wants to take care of you as their fighter?
It's definitely a breath of fresh air to not always be on your guard, you know, and looking at ulterior motives for things. You know, I think David Feldman is a very straight down to earth kind of guy, and he says it how he sees it. And you know, I don't know if you've had much experiences with Aussies, but that's how we are. You know, we don't pussyfoot around. We get straight to the point, and I definitely get that from David. So it's great to have you know, that in common, and know that they've got my best interest at heart, and they're a great promotion. They're doing the sport right. The sport could have gone terribly wrong if the wrong kind of people were involved. And I think we kind of saw that with the other promotion that's not paying their fighters. So definitely grateful to be a part of Bare-Knuckle FC and having a good team behind me. So it's a great feeling, and it's a breath of fresh air.
I love that. Hey, well, I'm not afraid to call Boss Root a piece of shit. A lot of people, you know, are, but I'm not, you know. Well, I interviewed all their fighters, Chris Lieben and a bunch of them, Brendan Ward, and, you know, that situation just was sickening. But you know what it did? It is slated in the New Era movement, that there is only one true promotion out there and one true representation, and that's the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships. And, you know, I think that couldn't have worked out better for Dave Feldman or Nate Shook or any of the family. With that being said, Beck, it was an honor to have you on. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If there's anything else you'd like to add to this show, your sponsors, your social media sites, anything, the floor is yours, my friend.
Yeah, I'm the coach of my team at United Fight Team. We're doing awesome things for Bare Knuckle here in Australia, and I hope to bring it here to Australia. So, yeah, definitely like to thank them, my sponsors, Lone U, my tattoo sponsorship, who's been my longest standing sponsor. I've had Adam Hines on board since before Invicta, and he's basically responsible for all of the ink on my body. He's at Final Haven Tattoo. And, yeah, shout out to all my fans and everyone that supported me and believes in me. You know, you guys are amazing, and I wouldn't be here without you guys. So tune in February 2nd and watch me bash a bitch.
I love it. I love it. Still got that feistiness in you. I love that. You know, Beck, thank you for honoring my show, and thank you for what you're bringing to the sport. You truly are a tremendous world champion. I wish you the best of luck on February 2nd. Go out there and whoop her ass.
Thank you so much. I will.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Well, that was an interesting interview. Truly a tremendous aspect of the sport. You know, I got to admit, you know, in the UFC, I didn't know where her career was going to go. But in Bare Knuckle, she truly has defined and slated herself in the history books and the foundation of the sport. And I think she's just getting started. You know, I want to thank my first guest this evening, Sam Shoemaker, the Hillbilly. It's an honor to be able to interview somebody from the state that I'm from and represent the state of Missouri and USA versus Mexico. That's just tremendous. He truly has worked his ass off in this, and I'm glad to see him go the Bare Knuckle way because I think it's fitting for him. And then you see Beck Rollins, you know, tremendous aspect of the sport, a pioneer for the women coming from Invicta, getting an opportunity in the UFC and creating, you know, as she said, she didn't, you know, her career didn't go the way she actually wanted it to. But, you know, I think in life things are just designated to go that way and designed our path for us. And if it wasn't for that aspect, she wouldn't have been in Bare Knuckles. So I think things are meant for a reason, and she truly is a world champion and is deserving of that. I want to thank Dave Feldman, Nate Shook, and all the Bare Knuckle Fighting fans, because without you, this show wouldn't exist. I really want to thank the super fan. I mean, that dude is just totally awesome. Him and Shannon Rich and everybody involved. But the super fan, go follow him, give him a like. He truly is a tremendous aspect trying to help the sport grow and doing it with integrity and dignity and true loyalty. And I love the dude, man. I haven't known him very long, but I'll tell you what, he's got my respect 100%. You know, to those of you who listen to the show, I'm truly honored. You know, Bare Knuckle is something new for me too, as it is for the rest of you. But stay on the ship, because it is the truest new form in the sport. It's going to take over. Even Jacob Stisteran, the man himself, has said it. You know, with that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, the86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stisteran and Juan Ramirez, and last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice. With that being said, it truly has been an honor and a privilege to share the Bare Knuckle world. I think I'm going to take us out tonight with a little bit of music. On that note, have a good night and God bless.
Where I come from, people always get money. Turn to 4 to week and Friday, all the way to Sunday. Got the cooler in the back, time to party, call your buddy.
chain in case we're getting stuck. We roll.